I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we'll hear from you, our listeners, in our Back Talk conversation. But first, it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about whatever's in the news and whatever's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are opinion writer and blogger Jimmy Israel, editor and columnist Gustavo Arellano, online reporter George Kelly, and Ruben Navarrete, a syndicated columnist. I know the guys have a lot to talk about. I hear they're going to talk about presidential politics, that comedian D.L. Hughley, he's in some Imus-like hot water, the Clintons cashing in on pop culture, and Governor Schwarzenegger apparently has some advice for Latinos. I may jump in, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Hey, fellas, welcome to the shop. What's up?
What's going on, man?
Hey, let's jump right out the gate talking about Republicans gone wild. Yo, you got New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg defecting from the GOP, and you got former Senator Fred Thompson jumping right off the stoop leading Republican polls. Overseas, spitting that foreign policy game like he's already the man. Ruben, what's up with that? Is there something in the water?
Well, there must be. You know, one of the things that's driving the Thompson campaign is this sense of inadequacy. People look at the whole vast array of folks running for president, certainly on the Republican side, and they just see inadequacy. They want somebody else. And likewise, on the Democratic side, people see some degree of inadequacy because they want Al Gore suddenly to talk about getting Gore into the race. As far as Thompson goes, though, people think that he has this kind of Reagan-like quality to give folks what they want, some straight talk. I don't know if it holds up in the long run, but my view is, hey, the more the merrier, maybe the competition will make the others better.
George, I don't know if it's just me, but I really dig Thompson's swagger. I don't really dig him, but my man is just spitting like he's just already in office. How do you feel about Thompson?
I'm not happy with swagger. It doesn't do much for me. We're looking at a bunch of men suffering from electoral dysfunction. And the field just needs to, like, you know, take their yohimbe, get their pills, go see the doctor, get a prescription, and get in tune with the populace.
Okay, well, Gustavo, how do you see it?
I think Thompson, the only thing he has going for him is that he was on Law and Order for all these years. Honestly, what other Reagan-esque quality does he have? He's a big guy and, you know, he was an actor. I don't know anything about his policy. He just comes in and opines once in a while or makes a video response to Michael Moore while smoking on his Cuban cigar. He doesn't impress me at all. And the reason why the Republicans are gravitating toward him is, again, it's this star power. They have stars in their eyes, and they desperately need another Reagan. The Republicans that are out there right now, none of them really stand for much, really.
Well, look, man, look. I mean, he's ultra-conservative, right? But, yo, his poll numbers are long and his rap is strong. I mean, you got to give it to the boy. I mean, you're not giving him enough credit. Let's move on and talk about Hillary Clinton rolling out a Sopranos spoof video on YouTube and the Obama girl. Whose video has gotten over 1 million hits.
Sorry, Jimmy, could you just wipe your mouth? Okay, just wipe the drool off and then proceed.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. Sorry about that. Now, wait a second. George, you're the black blog father. Is this the space age politicking internet type styly, or are we just, you know, seeing bad attempts on these candidates trying to look good and cool and relevant? What's up with that?
It's a ploy. You can put a Sopranos video up with one hand, but if you're picking Celine Dion with the other, what's that theme song about?
I mean, she should have went with the Franchise Boys or something like that. But go ahead.
The thing is, it's and the Obama girl, it's not even from Obama's camp. It's some people just trying to capitalize on brother's charisma and, you know, just, you know, where he stands at this point. You seem to float onto the floor. Democratic Convention 2004. I never wanted
anybody more than I want you. Okay, Ruben, help me out now. I know you're an Obama girl fan. What's up with that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, substance is overrated. You know, for those of us who are political junkies, I'll tell you what. For those of us who are political junkies and have to deal with this stuff 24/7, let's be real. Somebody could put out their 10-point health care plan, and maybe what people are talking about today is the Obama girl video or the Sopranos video. It's just candidates having fun. There's no big deal here. I mean, take it light. And trust me, you don't want to be encouraging politicians to give you policy stuff because you'll be sorry you said that. You know, the Obama thing in particular, it's she's trying to help her career along, and the company's trying to help, you know, the Obama girl phenomenon along, selling T-shirts and everything else. you know, it's also flattering. As one person joked, saying that Obama looks good in a bathing suit, well, there are worse things you could say about a brother.
Well, I tell you this much, man. I don't know if it's art, but I'm really feeling the Obama girl. You know, she's got my vote twice. now, let's move on
right.
and check in on Arnold Schwarzenegger, demanding that Latinos speak English to get ahead in this country. A good point to be sure, but he kind of comes off pompous and rude. Now, I mean, isn't he struggling with the language himself? Gustavo, you were in the room when he said it. What does Schwarzenegger know about speaking English?
I was half asleep when he said it there. Then all of a sudden you hear all these snickers from the audience, and he's saying, you have to turn off the television or something like that. And you see, I don't have a problem. What he said is true. But the question in particular was, how do you improve the education of Latino children? And mm-hmm. he should have said, just turn off the television, period. He didn't have to say, turn off the Spanish language television. Then the point then becomes, are you trying to pick on Latinos for wanting to continue to speak the language? He should have just
right.
said the bigger thing. Then it wouldn't have been a problem at all. You can't make him out to be an out-and-out racist, but he does like to poke Latinos in the eye once in a while just to get them going. And it works, obviously.
Yeah, he kind of goes to that Bill Cosby school of insult activism, you know, where, you know, you're shooting kids with pound cake and you're trying to make a bigger point. But it doesn't work. At least not my opinion. Ruben, are you buying what Arnold's selling? What's up?
I am. I'm buying it big time. Yeah, Viva Arnold. That's me. And I'm buying it for the following reason. Arnold says, if you want to learn English, do this. Turn off the Spanish language television. I want to correct something you said. You said he demanded that folks speak English. I don't think he said that at all. I think that this is exactly what Latinos need to hear. The shame of it is they should be hearing it from their own Latino leaders. Gustavo's right. The people who did the snickering, the people who did the laughing and the kind of the mocking, the scorning in the audience, guess where they work, okay? They work
right.
at Univision and Telemundo. Their bread and butter is wrapped up in keeping people tuned into Spanish language television. They don't care if kids never learn English, as long as they can pay
wow.
their mortgage. I mean, Latinos in California, they're sort of boring. They read from the same script all the time. If a Democrat does it, it's great. If a
Not
Republican
you,
does it, oh, he's racist. I mean, I'm the only one, brother. I'm out there, you know. Everybody else is like, they're being led around like by sheep, like sheep, you know. Come over here, vote Democratic. I mean, I don't get that. They need to get out and start thinking for themselves.
Well, listen, it's a point worth making. But, you know, you don't have – look, you don't have to
Hi,
be
Governor.
Rude to get – yeah, right. Arnold, you don't have to be rude to get your points across, you know. Anyway, I want to flip the script a little bit and talk about yet more fallout from the Imus incident. Just when you thought it was safe to go outside, right. comedian D.L. Hughley was on the Jay Leno show speaking on it, saying that, you know, he thought Don Imus was wrong for saying, you know, calling them hoes, but he said those girls certainly were ugly. Now, wait a second. Now, he's got ministers and leaders in an uproar trying to fire up a boycott. Now, George, last time I checked, I thought this was still America. This is a place where you can kind of call it like you see it, right?
You can call it like you can see it, and you can suffer the consequences. And Hughley's statement is that he released afterwards says, isn't there a child you can help teach to read, a war to help stop, an unjustly accused man you can help out of jail? I will not apologize for telling a joke about the world as I see it. He is calling it like he's seeing it, and there is the minor thing that he's not Imus. He's not in a position where every morning he's got people from power people from New York and Washington coming to kiss his ring. It's the equivalent of an in-family joke. You know, it's still sour and it still smells funny and, you know, it's not something I'd say, but it's not something I'm going to go Imus on him about.
Aren't there bigger fish to fry? I mean, aren't we in the middle of a war? I mean, what's the point of going after D.L. Hughley, who most of America has never even heard of?
Yeah, I don't think we're ready for the T-shirts to say "Free DL." You know, I don't
right.
think that. I don't think he's. I don't think he's the victim yet. I don't think we're ready to put his face on a stamp just yet. I think that this is an attempt by the black community to police itself. More power to them. This is a group of folks saying this is unacceptable, and that's fine. Let them pay the consequences for that. I think he'll be fine in the long run. But you know, again, we fault the black community when they don't police themselves. We fault them when they do.
The way I see it, man, it's just. You know, just the kind of the last call for micro pundits and would-be activists. It's just a tempest.
Jimmy, can I forgive me? Well, how about parents who kind of don't appreciate having their girls being beaten up on in this way, who are just trying to go out and do something positive? I mean, are those our only choices, is to tolerate everything or to be considered to be having no respect for free speech? Are those the only choices here?
The crux of this, Jimmy, just very quickly, a double standard. It's the crux of this is folks saying, is it okay if a black person says it but a white person can't? I mean, until we sort that out, if the N-word's offensive coming from white folks, it's got to be offensive coming from Chris Rock.
Let's move forward and talk about this really weird mashup of an idea of Shaquille O'Neal with this new reality show called Shaq's Fat Camp, where he helps kids deal with their obesity. Now, for me, I'm wondering, who helped Shaq deal with his obesity?
And they all go, afterward, they all go eat.
Right. You know, this kind of strikes me like, you know, Naomi Campbell's anger management challenge or Mike Tyson's poetry hour. Okay, yeah, I mean, is Shaq really all for the fat kids like that? Check in right quick for me, Gustavo.
Yeah, no, I love Shaq. Shaq has, you know, back when he was here with the Lakers, he would always go out, help out kids, play Santa Claus, do all these things. Obviously, if he's doing the show, maybe he does see a problem with childhood obesity. I love the Shaq, George, man.
George, give me a short take on it.
I think it's laudable to focus on getting kids to be more active and be more healthy.
Ruben?
Yeah, more power to him. Leave Shaq alone. But you know who started this whole, fight against obesity? It was my man Arnold Schwarzenegger. He was there first. So, there again, see, Arnold's a prophet. I'm trying to tell you guys, Arnold's a prophet. He sees things you don't see.
He's been to the mountaintop, right, Ruben?
And that's he right, sees baby. He the sees promised it. Land. Give those right. people air. Yo, y'all making me hungry with all this talk. So listen, I'm thinking it's about time we wrap up. I want to thank everybody for coming. Gustavo, you're back again for the first time. We're going to have you back, bro. Thanks so much.
Hey, appreciate it, man.
George, the Black Block Father, my man, come again.
Get at me, man.
And it's Ruben, my man. You know you'll be back.
Always good, man. Always good.
And I'm that dude, Jimmy Israel. I got reservations. I'm about to kick it over to my girl, Michelle Martin.
I'm still mad at you.
What did I do?
I'm not speaking to you.
Don't be mad at me. Don't do that.
Jimmy Israel, if I were speaking to him, joined us from WCPN in Cleveland. He writes for the opinion page of the Lexington Herald Leader. Ruben Navarrete writes for the San Diego Union Tribune and CNN.com. He joined us from KPBS in San Diego. Author and columnist Gustavo Arellano joined us from KUCI in Irvine. And George Kelly is a blogger and online reporter with Contra Costa Times. He joined us from the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco. You can find links to all of our barbershop guests at our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
I should have said gentlemen and Jimmy.
Oh, here we go.
That's low there.
It is low.